What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, we are starting our What is Love series as we embark through the month of February. Many know of it as the month of love in general because of Valentine's Day. So we just kind of wanted to dive into relationships, to love, to singleness, to really help us understand that we have to be healthy in order to provide the love and the overall satisfaction that we're looking for in the relationships that God has placed in our lives. You guys, today we have an incredible guest. Her name is Miss Deborah Falada. When I think of Deb, she has, you know, she does so many different things, but she is a people helper through and through. The other day I heard a great analogy, and it was from actually my supervisor here, as I'm a counselor in the mental health field as well. And he was saying that, you know, there are ducks and there are turtles in life. He said that ducks ultimately are the people that are kind of the top swimmers, where they get to see the sunshine, they get to bask in it, they really don't understand what's underneath the surface. But then they say there are turtles as well. And these turtles are the ones that dive deep down into the muck and the mire of the pits of life, and they try to help other people get air, get oxygen when needed. And so when I think of Deb, I think of someone, Deb, don't take this personally or don't take offense, but I think of a turtle because, man, she goes down into the muck and the pits of life, and then she comes back up, and it gives her a greater appreciation for that sunshine that God offers every single one of us. So when I think of Deb, that's what I think of. She is incredible. I know you guys are going to love her today. Garrett, what you think of the episode?
Deborah Falada is a gift to the church, to the mental health space all around, and I'm excited. You know, I'm reading through the Gospels right now, Zach, and I know you and I have talked a lot about this, and every time, almost every time, Jesus encountered someone that needed healing, you know, it was the person's faith. He said, it's your faith that has healed you. It's your faith that has made you whole. And we're going to talk a lot about healing and doing the work. And to the person who is just maybe in a rut or stuck, I want to let you know this interview is for you because there's a loving God who's extending his mighty hand of healing to you today. And you're going to hear some things that maybe will encourage you to do the work, to do the right thing, and maybe get out of the toxic situation that you're in, or really just finally say, you know, I'm done with this broken habit, or I'm done with this broken relationship, and I want to be the whole person that Jesus has created me to be. And so for our listeners, I'm excited for you to just go on a journey with us, with Deborah, on what it looks like to be truly and wholly complete and healed the way Jesus intended for us to be. And so I'm excited. I know you're going to love it. So let's go now to our interview with Deborah Falada.
Deborah, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's so good to be here with you guys.
Miss Deborah, it is always a blessing, truly an honor, every time we get the opportunity to sit down with you and talk about some things that we're all incredibly passionate about. You're a woman of great wisdom, and you have a heart of gold that I know is desperate to really point people back to the ultimate source of help, hope, and healing, which is the Lord first and foremost. For those of our listeners today that maybe aren't so familiar with all that you do, because you have, I mean, your hands in a lot of different things. You're a licensed professional counselor. You're a national speaker specializing in relationship and marital issues, as well as mental and emotional health. You're an author of 6 books. You're the host of the Love and Relationships podcast, where you're very passionate about spreading the message that healthy people make healthy relationships. Deb, this is an incredible topic as we dive into our What is Love series, first and foremost, because Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and I know people are talking about this. It's a very hot topic. So how I kind of want to begin, ma'am, is just understanding that although love and relationships, like, we were made for them, unfortunately, I think a lot of people dive into them and maybe approach them with the wrong perspective. They try to dive in thinking that someone else is going to fix them or to complete them. And as we know, that can be a true recipe for disaster. Ms. Deborah, what I'm really curious about up front is, what does it really mean to you in understanding that we're wired or we're made for a relationship and to love and be loved?
Yeah. I think you're so right in saying that we often get into relationships. How I like to word it is, we're half full. You know, we think that this relationship is going to fill us up. And I think part of the reason that we're half full is because we don't actually take the time to assess our own level of health before getting into a relationship. Oftentimes, when you're looking for love, you're there to assess who they are. Right. Do they match my story? What are they like? Do they meet the checklist? But very few times do we turn that checklist on ourselves and say, how healthy am I? Do I have trauma and baggage that I'm dealing with? What are my communication issues and skills? And, you know, what's my family of origin stuff? So we come to the table half full, expecting that this relationship is going to fill us up. And it may feel like that for a little bit, because when you put two half full cups together, it feels like a full cup, you know, for a little bit. Until you realize, going through relationships, as you know, in life and marriage, it's like, wait a second, this thing doesn't have the power to fill me up. And in fact, our emptiness can begin to pour out into our relationship and really start to affect it. So it is important. It is crucial, essential for us to really zoom in on our mental, emotional, spiritual health.
It's so good, because we are wired by our creator for relationship, specifically relationships done the right way. You know, we see in Genesis 2:18, God says the first part of creation, it's not good for man to be alone. Like you said, you know, we're designed that way. And I think so many people, they get it wrong. They get off track. Things happen. There are things that people don't work through, and hardships that people go through that really do affect the frame of mind as they look at relationships and how they, you know, interact with others in those relationships. And so as we sort of dive in more, love can often get off the rails, off track. Relationships can spin out of control. And so for our listeners who have experienced maybe some hurt, some hangups, what would you say to them right now? You know, how does someone get this whole love thing wrong? What are some signs for those who are in relationships that the relationship they may be in is toxic, and how can they start moving forward in a way to address those things and maybe fix those issues that they're wrestling with?
Yeah. That's a lot of questions, Garrett.
I know. I usually have a mouthful of questions, but you're the right person. You're the right person to answer.
Here's what comes to mind to kind of encompass all of these questions. I like to think of a healthy relationship like a plant. And I don't, you guys don't know this about me, but I'm a plant killer. Like, I am awful with plants.
Oh my goodness.
My husband got me these succulents where all you have to do is water the succulent by putting a tiny bit of ice in the succulent once a week. And he's like, okay, you can't kill that, you know? Well, then I didn't remember if I'd watered it that week or was it the week before. So I ended up overwatering the succulents.
Oh no.
And they died, you know?
Right.
But what's fascinating is, as I'm like going through this process of trying to keep a plant alive, I really felt like the Lord kind of gave me the analogy that human beings and relationships is like nurturing a plant. You can give it too little water, not enough nurturance, and the relationship will die. But if you give it too much water, the relationship will also die. Yeah. And let me tell you, we don't always talk about that in the Big C Church. What does it mean to give a relationship too much? Well, it means you go into it with this codependent stance, where this relationship is where you get your value and worth and security and purpose. And what this relationship reveals becomes your identity. And so you can give and give and give and give and give in a relationship where you're receiving little to nothing in return, but continue to give and give and give and pour out to an unhealthy level. And eventually you destroy the relationship by giving too much. So there's got to be this balance. When you talk about what does a healthy relationship look like, to me, a healthy relationship is made up of give and receive, give and take. And the level to which we bring people into our closest circles needs to match and reflect the health of the relationship, that level of give and take. So how do you know a relationship's not healthy? Usually it's a relationship where you're not giving enough, or you're giving too much. You know, like you have to kind of be looking for those extreme ends. And usually that's the territory of unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great, Deborah. And a word that comes to mind is just balance, right? Being able to understand when it's too much, when it's too little, being able to understand what health actually looks like in a relationship. Because I think oftentimes we can fall into these old ways, these old patterns, we call them, right, mental ruts, and understanding that maybe it's from previous experiences, maybe it's our insecure attachment styles that we may have developed over time, but regardless, we understand it may not be healthy, like, in any way, shape, or form, but it's what's comfortable for us, right? It's what's familiar. It's what, like, we lean back on. What are you seeing when it comes to, like, relationships and just people falling back into comfort and convenience that you get the opportunity of working with on a daily basis?
It's 100% true that it's easier to choose what's familiar over what's healthy.
Yeah.
So when we look at a relationship, oftentimes it's the magnifying glass to our own wounds, our own needs, our own struggles. Mm-hmm. I think relationships can be a catalyst for healing if we were to look at what's coming up in me. Why am I doing this? For example, the woman who's giving too much in a relationship can look back at her history and realize that the roots are because maybe she grew up in a home where mom and dad were divorced and she was the oldest child and everybody relied on her to fix all the problems. Everybody relied on her to give. Everybody relied on her for peace. And she was the go-between. And she learned at a young developmental age that my role is to give. Mm-hmm. And so she goes into every relationship with that theme. I am here to give and not receive. Because if you just try to stop what you're doing in the present without getting to the roots of the past, you're not actually healing. You're putting a Band-Aid on the situation, you know? So oftentimes, and why I love working with couples and couples counseling is because it is this beautiful opportunity. Conflict gives us the invitation for deeper healing. If we'll see it that way. Most of us are afraid of conflict. We want to avoid it at all costs. But I think the question is, what is conflict in my life and relationships? What is it actually revealing about me? What is it revealing about my health? What is it revealing about my baggage, my wounds, my trauma? And we use that to catapult us into a more significant level of healing. That's my favorite kind of marriage counseling right there.
I like that.
So good. You know,
you guys might be interested in knowing that. So I love February Valentine's series. So on my podcast, Love and Relationships, this February, we're doing on-air couples counseling. So we have these couples come on, we hit record, and we get into it. And I truly believe a lot of these themes emerge again and again and again when working with couples.
So interesting. I can probably imagine that those conversations, raw, intimate.
You have no idea what you're getting. It's not scripted. There's no prompt. I don't even know the issue they're bringing to the table. Sometimes I don't even know their name. I'm like, okay, let's look at the people who sign up and hit record and here we go. But it has been amazing to watch the Holy Spirit heal and reveal during those times. And I think they inspire me, and I know they're going to inspire you when you listen.
Yeah. You know, in that, has there been something that you've learned maybe that you didn't expect to learn? Or something you've seen that you didn't expect to see?
Well, I'll tell you, I've seen a lot at this point in my career. Right. Nothing surprises me. But I will tell you, I think the lesson that emerged in one of the sessions recently was the idea that if you want to preserve something, you bury it. So when we bury our hurts, when we bury our trauma, when we bury our wound, when we bury our bitterness and resentment, instead of confronting, we preserve it. We're actually allowing it to last longer in our bodies and our relationships by burying it rather than bringing it to the surface for healing. And it's like we bury stuff, but what we're actually doing is preserving them. And I think when you can like shift your mind to realize that, it gives you the motivation to like bring up what we need to bring up and bring it to the light of Christ for it to be healed.
It's insane work. That's awesome that you guys are doing that on your podcast. And you know, we're talking through the lens of relationships, but what about to our friends who are listening, who are single, right? You know, myself included in that, that we're doing the work, we're putting in the heavy lifting of doing the assessments and and looking at our lives through the lens of healthy habits and making ourselves ready, you know, for the right lasting relationship. What would you say to the person who's single right now that's searching and doing the right things and is hoping to have a lasting relationship?
I love my single friends. Let me just tell you that right now. I have a very special place in my heart for singles. My whole ministry started out in the very beginning as a ministry for singles, encouraging them about how to do relationships right. And I just feel that the Lord hasn't given me a green light to move on to other areas and forget singles. Singles are still a very important part of the work that I do.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I love hearing, Garrett, that you're in the category of people who are doing the work.
Right.
Because you are a magnet and you will attract and engage in relationships based on your level of health. So, you know, if you're listening out there and you're like, okay, why do I attract all these unhealthy girls? What's going on? Why do I attract all these girls that are like, just need some serious help and I get sucked into it? Well, maybe that is actually a reflection of your level of health.
Right.
You know, our relationships are revealing. So I love hearing when singles are doing the work. And I think the only thing I would add to that, besides do the work, get healthy, standing alone, is sometimes I think when it comes to dating and relationships, we take a very passive approach to dating.
Yeah.
For example, if you came to me, Garrett, in a session and you're like, hey, I really want to buy a house. It's one of my goals. I'd say, okay, let's talk about it. What can you do to buy a house? Where's your money going? What are you looking? What are you looking for? Where are places we can find this type of thing? What are you doing to save money to get a house? And we would talk through a plan. But sometimes in the church, when it's like, I really want to get married, it's like, you know, maybe you should just trust God and focus on what you're doing now and focus on your calling and forget about marriage. And when you forget about it, it'll happen.
Right.
Like, isn't that such a different approach? If you told me you wanted to get your degree, I'd say, okay, what can we do? How can we control what's in your control? How can we do the work? But sometimes with relationships and dating, singles feel like they have to take a passive approach, just sit around twiddling their thumbs until the right person plops into their life.
Right.
And I don't think that's the proper response. I do believe we have to trust the Lord, but I also think trusting the Lord means that we can take steps in that direction of the desire that He's placed in our heart and do the work.
Right.
And so that's sort of what I challenge singles to kind of assess. What is the work you're doing in order to get a healthy marriage at the end of this?
I can't tell you how many times I've been told that advice, given that advice. And honestly, it wasn't until I sat down about a year and a half ago with a licensed professional and laid it all out, talked through so many things where they just said, Garrett, now, you know, you've done the work, but what are you doing? You know?
Wow.
We talked through some of the things.
That's my kind of counselor, calling you out a little bit.
It's good. And so taking those healthy habits and being able to date in a way that's, one, honoring to the people, but honoring to God, like that's been a shift. And so for our listeners, you know, there is hope for you. But I want to echo what Deborah said is you can't sit on the sidelines. And I'm preaching to myself because it's a decision. You want to be in a healthy relationship. You've got to start making the healthy steps, yes, for yourself. But then you got to start putting yourself out there or you're going to be sitting like a lone duck.
Right.
And so I love what you're doing, you know, with relationships and with singles. You are one of the most like fascinating people in this realm for me because you're not just in the like relationship space. You're also in the mental health space as well. And so you've got a new resource that's coming out very soon, Deborah. And I want to sort of transition the interview as we head into that direction. You know, we've talked about putting in the work and what that looks like relationally and with others, but sometimes the inner workings of ourselves, inner workings of our mind need to be, you know, adjusted and talked through because of past hurts and hangups. And we've got people who are listening who, I get it. You know, I'm with you. Like I'm trying to put in the work or I'm in that hard relationship, but you know, you've got this awesome book coming out in March where you sort of just dive into this mindset. It's called Reset. It's powerful habits to own your thoughts, understand your feelings, and change your life. I want to give you the opportunity. Tell us about what your work is about and what you've got going on with your new book.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you said is so true. A lot of times we want to do the work. We just don't know how.
Yeah.
And you can have all the ingredients, but if you don't have a recipe, you're up a creek, you know? And I think sometimes we don't know where to get the recipe. Who can we trust? How do we even know how to do the work? So reset is kind of my project to fill in that question mark. How do we do the work? Well, this is how. It's 31 practices. I mean, this is a 31 practices, you know, like usually I write like a 10 to 12 chapter book. No, this was 31 practices of how we can take ownership of our life from the inside out. If you actually want to change something, if you actually want to get unstuck. I mean, I love that it's coming out in March because isn't March usually around that time where all our New Year's resolutions have like went in the trash can? We're like, oh, forget it. You know, we're not eating healthy anymore. We're not doing what we want to do in our life because we're not doing it in the right way. We're trying to achieve change from the outside in while neglecting the inside out. And that's never going to get us anywhere. So these 31 practices guide you on a journey with lessons, reflections, homework assignments to just kind of help you map out how to change and heal with me as your guide, talking you through the process. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do. I'm excited for the healing that I believe that God is going to pour out on all of us.
Yes.
In 2023. Like that's the word that I'm holding on to for this year.
Deb, I love that. I love the resource. I was able to look it over and I'm so excited just to dive in more deeper. March 14th, right, is the release date?
March 14th.
I challenge all of our listeners, go pre-order it right now. I'm telling you guys, it is a valuable resource that will change your life. Go pre-order it or go get it in stores March 14th. But Deb, something that you dive into is like four key steps, four very important things that you want people to kind of pull away from that book. It's almost four different sections. You begin by saying, stop before we start or pause. Then you go into owning our junk, right? Which is acknowledge. Then checking in with our emotions and then shifting our stories. Deb, could you just take some time to maybe elaborate on those four specific areas and how they can help somebody really, like you said, take ownership of their life?
Yeah. So as you know, in the world of counseling and psychology, we know that thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to behaviors.
Right.
And so I think what happens is oftentimes we are so focused on the behavior. We have no idea there's an underlying emotion that's fueling that behavior. And then before that underlying emotion, there's a belief system, a thought process that's fueling that emotion. And so I think this is such an important journey for us to go on. But what's interesting is the very first action step, the very first practice is pause.
Yeah.
And that might throw you off a little bit. Like, wait, I'm ready to go. And you're trying to tell me to pause. Like, this doesn't make any sense. But I think we so often fail to stop and pause and take inventory of where we're at and where we want to go. We live in a culture that's just go, 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 go. Like, how often are people taking the time to reflect, right, to sit with the Lord and just ask, like, okay, where do you want to partner with me, God, in the healing of journey versus here's what I want to heal. Here's what I want to change. No, where do you want to heal and change me? Sorry. Because that's what's going to be the most effective work is when I'm partnering with him on the journey. And so the very first thing I'm going to have you do is a practice of pausing and I kind of talk you through that. What's interesting is some people, like, when's the last time you actually paused? No phone, no music, no electronics, no people, no noise for 10 minutes, we'll say. Just 10 minutes. Silencing the outside and internal and external noise. It's a very rare practice that we engage in. And so that's one of the very first things I'm going to have you do as we kind of map out where we're going on the journey of healing.
It's incredible how many times we have resources that come across, you know, our desks or, you know, we're asked to look at things and, you know, I love the idea that yours starts with, it's time to pause.
Yeah.
We all need it. I need it. We're all on the go, you know, so much. And so, you know, as we begin to wrap up this interview and to those listening who are at that stage in their journey where they're ready to pause and they're ready to say, okay, I need to breathe, take some inventory. And once I've paused and I've listened to what God has for me, what I should do next in that, you know, what would you tell the person? I know we address so many different categories of people today.
Yeah.
But to the person who is in that stuck place,
yeah,
what would you say to them? And how would you encourage them to get started?
You know, I truly believe whether you're single, whether you're dating, engaged, married, no matter where you are on the relationship journey, no matter where you are on the healing journey, there's going to be a season when you start seeing some of the same things that you thought you overcame resurfacing. Like, oh, wait, why is that pornography issue coming back? Why are these codependent relationships coming back? Why am I starting to feel so insecure? Where is this anxiety coming back? I thought I dealt with this. I thought I healed from this. I thought I worked through this. Healing is a process. And oftentimes when the Lord is bringing something to the surface again, it's a reminder that it's time for a deeper layer of healing. It's next level time. Yeah. And I truly believe that if you're listening out there and you're like, here it is again, I feel stuck, I don't know what to do, this is your invitation to heal on a much deeper level than you ever have before. And instead of feeling discouraged, I think we should see it as an opportunity to do something different, something deeper, something better than we've ever done before. And I, like I said earlier, and I'm going to say it again, I truly believe that 2023 is going to be the year of healing for anyone who's willing to receive it, for anyone who's willing to engage, for anyone who's willing to partner with God in doing that work. Because you know what? Will God ever say no to healing inside our lives from the inside out? He's going to say, yeah, let's do this. Let's do this together. And so I'm excited for my own life, but I'm excited for everybody listening. And I'm truly expecting that the Lord is going to take us to new levels this year. So let's do it. Let's reset. Let's start this journey all over and invite God into the healing process.
Deb, I love that. You know, my dad always says that there's three types of people, right? There are intenders, people that have great intentions or they have the desire to change, but nothing seems to get done. There's the pretenders, the ones that talk a lot about it, but man, they're really not about it. And then there's the contenders, the ones that are actually getting up each and every day, making the daily choices, the disciplines to do something. And it's like you said, healing is a process, right? Sometimes it takes us getting to a place of desperation before we make the decision, right? To then have the discipline to change a direction. And so that's really what I feel like I got from your message today, is that healing is a process, but man, buckle up because God has something great in store for your life. Deb, we're so thankful for you and just the work that you do. You really do get into the muck and the mire of people's pits and their deepest and darkest journeys of life. But thank you for just partnering with the Lord in that ministry. Thank you again for just the opportunity it was to sit down with you today and just share a little bit more about what you do. We love you. We love your work. And we can't wait to just release that book on March 14th, Reset.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for having me today.
Yes, ma'am.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Built Different podcast. Yep. I just love what God is doing in and through Deborah Falada and her ministry and her work as a counselor and just her new resource that's coming out in March, Reset. Go get it. Make sure you pre-order. You know, we address so many different people.
Yeah.
Singles, people in relationship, people who are healthy, people who are unhealthy, people who are looking to do the work and getting to the place where they know that God is calling them to be. I want to remind you, it is not too late. Wherever you are in a relationship, whether good or bad, single, and you're doing the work, God is still extending his hand of healing, and he's walking alongside you in this journey. Zach, I know that you had some incredible thoughts on the interview. What'd you think?
Yeah, so there were three things that really stood out to me that I wrote down. She said, to begin with, when we bury things, we end up preserving them, right? So I think about a lot of pain. I think about old habits that kind of get in our way, old patterns, ruts. A lot of times what we try to do is we try to get rid of them just by forgetting about them, by stuffing them, and then all of a sudden we end up preserving them and they're prolonging the extended period of time that they keep rising back up or resurfacing, like she mentioned. We can't bury our problems and our pains anymore. We have to bring them to the surface to begin peeling back the layers so we can truly experience the healing that we're longing for at the end of the day. Number two, she said that the Spirit not only heals, but He also reveals. And I love that, because when we think about God's revealing and allowing things to resurface in our life is truly a process of His grace and His mercy, understanding that then we need to experience a deeper level maybe of healing that we haven't gone to before. And the last one is that conflict is the invitation for that deeper healing. When you feel like pain is coming in your life and you feel like there is conflict that keeps on rising up, understand that it is an invitation, right, to continually grow in a relationship with God, an invitation to intimacy, and He is the change maker. At the end of the day, He is the way maker. He does things that only He can do. And so I'm telling you guys, be able, like Garrett said, put on the boots and just do the work at times. God is a miraculous God, but you have to partake in the miracles. My friends, we love you. We appreciate you. We're so excited to embark on this What is Love relational series with you guys throughout the entire month of February. So we hope to see you guys next time on the Built Different podcast.